1967. Prabhupada was staying at 512 Frederick Street in San Francisco, an apartment building on the fourth floor. It would be like the third floor in England. There's like one, we call the ground floor in America the first floor. So it's one, two, three, four. So it would be like the third floor here, fourth floor there. They had an apartment there. It overlooked the street. San Francisco has curved buildings. The buildings are curved on the outside. Most of the residential houses, instead of just having front facades, they'll have a series of three windows, and they kind of stick out like this. So you have what look like bumps on the houses. It's a very common thing in that city. So his room had three windows like that, where he could sit right by the window, and it's almost like a little balcony overlooking the street. And he saw these trucks. I don't know what you call them here. We call them flatbed trucks. It's the cabin of the truck, and then the back part is just flat. And they put containers and other lumber and things like that on. So he was observing these. And one time when he called me up to his room, or I came up to his room, he had been drawing these trucks. He made a drawing, actually, of one of these trucks. It was a flatbed truck. And in the center of the flatbed, the bed in the back, he had drawn four posts and a canopy that went up in a pitch group from the four posts to a point at the top. So it was, you know, like this, to the point. And that was meant to house the deity. And he drew a representation of the deities inside that canopy. So that was to be the first Bhatiyatra. That was the first time the Bhatiyatra idea ever came to be. Actually, I have to go back a little bit, because before that, Malati, who used to visit various shops and stores and come home with various items from those stores, brought one to Prabhupada's room. In those days, she had the habit of taking the things without paying for them. Not always, but sometimes. And it was kind of a residual habit from before devoteehood, you know, that stayed. I don't think she would mind my saying it, so I'll just say it. So this Lord Jagannath, I think, was adopted in that fashion. And anyway, it was at any rate about 3 inches high, and she brought it up to Prabhupada's room and showed it to him. There were a few devotees sitting there, and as soon as he saw Krishna and Jagannath, he said, "Jagannath Swami Nayana Patagami Babasmi." Oh, that is Jagannath, like that. And then everyone was thinking, wow, that's really... she said, "What is this?" Because she didn't know. It was in an import store, and this was an artifact from India, that's all she knew. She suspected it was some sort of a deity, but it became Krishna. So shortly after that, her husband then, Shyam Sundar, mentioned to Prabhupada that he could make one like this, only larger. So Prabhupada said, "Then do it." So he proceeded to, and then they agreed on the height, which was about a meter, about 3 feet high. So he proceeded to make one. And I don't know if that was the first one or near the first one, but he and Haridas and I went out to get wood for this first Jagannath. And on one day we got wood from a railroad track. They're called railroad ties, the pieces of wood that join the two metal tracks together. So we got one of those. And I don't know if that was the first or the second Jagannath, but I remember we were carrying this big railroad tie up the stairs, and it had a big crack in it. And when he sculpted the Jagannath, he had to fill this big crack in with putty. So he had the little one to use as a model. And then from that, using this railroad tie and a saw and a hammer and a chisel, he was good with woodwork. He liked to carve and sculpt things out of wood. So this was something he really enjoyed doing. So he made Jagannath and Subhadra and Balaram. Eventually, Malati procured the other two deities, maybe by different means. And then he sculpted them. So Prabhupada wanted them installed in the temple, and a platform was fashioned so that they would sit or stand above. It was actually a doorway, and it was fashioned into an altar with Kartamasha, that's Krishna, just standing alone, flute like this, and then up above him, across the doorway, on another piece of wood, redwood, was Jagannath and Subhadra and Balaram. So they became the deities of that temple, and Prabhupada called it New Jagannath Puri. We'll call the temple New Jagannath Puri. And because it was on the beach, not on the beach, near the beach, he had the idea that we should even make a temple on the beach. So there was the Golden Gate Park, which extended right from, it started right about where the temple was, and then it went for about 2 miles to the Pacific Ocean. And it was about maybe a fourth of a mile wide. And there was an old windmill down at the end, near the very windswept part of the park on the ocean front. The trees were always bent like away from the wind. You'd see them all like they were, you know, like you'd see these pictures of someone driving a sports car and his hair is all like this. So that's what the trees looked like. But there was an old windmill down there. And we were driving past it one time, and it was a dilapidated blue wooden windmill, like the kind they have in Holland, but apparently it was disused for a long time. So Prabhupada said to me, he said, why don't you tell the government, because it was all government owned, this park and this windmill, and everything in it was the city government really owned this park. Why don't you tell the city that you will renovate the windmill and in exchange for that, we'll build a temple here, and we'll have a temple right on the beach. I was too spaced out to do anything like that. I thought this was really a utopian idea, or just something that he just, you know, thought of, but it wasn't really meant to happen. Anyway, that was where I was at in those days. So these deities became the temple deities, and then it was thought that they shouldn't just be like that, just standing out on this board, but there should be a canopy above them. So the devotees fashioned it. Canopy out of something that looked very much like burlap, out of like yellow burlap or kind of a yellowish burlap. So it kind of came over the deities, and then it needed lights, because you can't, if you have a canopy, then the deities get dark. So there needed to be some spotlights to shine down on them. So that was organized, and then Malati, there were different colors of lights, you know, red, green, and blue, like that. So when Malati, who was kind of like the de facto pujari of those deities, put the lights in, she put a little device between the light bulb and the socket. You know, the light bulb goes in the socket. So there's a little thing like a button. And that button was supplied by novelty stores. And what it did was it would get very hot, and then it would break the circuit, and then it would cool down again. So what would happen is when lights were in the socket with that thing between the light bulb and the socket, the lights would go on and off. Like that, like a flash. So they were installed like that. And when the devotees came in to see the deities, we saw these flashing floodlights, flashing different colors on the deities. So this became a bit of a point of controversy, that why should we have, you know, have the lights flashing on the deities? So at some point it was brought to Prabhupada, because it became a point of contention. The Malati had independently put these buttons inside the sockets, and we had flashing lights on Lord Jagannath, which should have been steady lights. So Prabhupada supported her, and she said, "Oh, it's all right, it doesn't matter." And then that was the end of the controversy. We just had flashing deities. Some photographers came. I don't know what day they came, when they came, but one day we saw the picture of the deities in the front of the newspaper. There was a newspaper called the San Francisco Chronicle, a daily newspaper. It was the biggest newspaper in San Francisco. And that, right in the center of the front page, in the upper part, about maybe 10 inches high by 8 inches wide, was a picture of the temple floor with all the devotees offering their obeisances. All you saw was bent over bodies and the deities in the front. And it was, none of us even knew it was coming. All of a sudden it was just there with a little caption. It wasn't even an article, it was just a caption saying this was the Hare Krishna temple, these were the Hare Krishna people, and they were bowing down to these were their gods, or something like that. So that's how Jagannath first appeared in the temple. And those same Jagannath deities are in the temple in Berkeley. I think one of them may have been replaced, but I believe they're the same deities in the temple. And I think they're the central deities. And so the first Ratha-yatra took place in that city because Prabhupada designated it as new Jagannath Puri. So to get back to my story, they became the worshipable deities of the temple, Jagannath, Balabhadra, and Subhadra. So Prabhupada, he came to that temple in January of 1967, and long about maybe it was in February or March, I don't remember the exact month, but I came to his room and I saw this drawing. Now the drawing had the truck, it looked very much like a truck and a flatbed, and then these four posts, the pillars, and then the canopy going up to a pitched point in the middle of the fourth post. And then he drew the deities. So the deities were in facing in such a way that one had its back to the cabin and the other two were on the side. So like to say this is the front of the cabin, and one deity was with his back, I think, was Jagannath, the cabin. And then you had Balaram and Subhadra like this facing each other. And they had backdrops and they would be strapped in. So this would be the chariot, the car for the festival. And then Prabhupada set a date for the festival sometime in June or July. I don't remember when it was. And this would become the date for the first Rath Yatra festival. So we had various people in the community that weren't devotees helping. It was a bit of a project to build that canopy. Shamsundar was one of the main carpenters. And that took place on a street called Irving Street. Frederick Street was the street that ran by the temple, and then a little further down, I think two blocks over, was a wider street that had streetcars running down it on tracks with overhead wires. And not a huge crowd, but maybe 200 or 300 people, mostly of the 1967 Haight Ashbury hippie variety types, joined with flowers. They made things out of threads they called God's Eyes. They made them with different colors of thread in a diamond shape. So they all kind of got into it, and it was a real happening. It was a real event of the day that the Hare Krishnas were taking their gods out of the temple on the back of a truck and parading them down to the beach. So they went down the street called Irving Street, the big wide street, down to about a 2-mile track to the beach. In order to affect this thing properly, we had to have a sound system, because in those days we had a sound system for everything. When we chanted in the park, we had a sound system. When we chanted in the temple, we had a sound system. When we chanted at festivals, we always had a sound system. So we approached a gentleman who let us use a sound system. He was a kind of young guy, and he had a shop that had tape recorders and various sound equipment in them. And we asked him. His name was Roger Culkins. He was always very generous. We would chant in the park on Sunday, Golden Gate Park, Anatom. He let us use his microphone and his speakers to just to be nice to us, and it was nice. So we didn't have to really advertise it. So, but in order to drive the generator, the amplifier and the speakers, we had to have a kind of motor, because in those days we weren't aware of, you could do it with say 8 or 9 batteries, and maybe that technology wasn't very advanced then, and we didn't know. So anyway, we got a motor. It was a little yellow motor, like about this big, that ran on petrol. It was called the Tiny Tiger. So we used to use it to power the sound system in the park. It was so loud that and so full of carbon monoxide coming out of it that we had a big long cord about almost 100 feet long to put it over away in the bushes so that people wouldn't hear it, because it would drown out the music. When we powered the speakers for the Rath Yatra, we couldn't do that because it was a moving vehicle. So the thing had to be somewhere on the vehicle, unless someone was willing to walk 100 feet behind it holding it with the cord, and that was dangerous. So we decided to put it in the cabin of the truck, the flatbed truck, right in the cabin where Chandler was driving and I was sitting. So it was really deafeningly loud. I mean, if you had it in this room, you'd probably go running out holding your ears. It was so loud. And it belched out tons of, seemed like, carbon monoxide, white smoke. So that was in our little cabin, driving the speakers and the amplifier. And we kept the doors shut and the windows closed so that it wouldn't drown out everything. Of course, we had to open it up because we didn't want to die of carbon monoxide poisoning. But it was a very difficult experience because it got very hot, it was extremely noisy, and we were breathing this carbon monoxide continuously. So So we'd have to open the doors and open the windows about every 5 minutes, and this huge roar would come out of the cabin. It'd drown out all the sound, all the singing, all the musical instruments that we had on it. But anyway, that's how we went to the beach. And outside, people weren't really aware of it because the speakers were very big. We had two big speakers like this, you know, about 3 feet high, 2 feet wide, with a big bass speaker and a little tweeter, we called them, a treble speaker. And they were very, very loud. You could hear them for blocks. So that chanting was going on. And then devotees were sitting on the flatbed truck playing. We had a sitar and a tambura, and everything had a microphone, and the singers had microphones. We wanted everything to be heard. And at one point, that street, we had to go up a little side street for a short spell, and something happened where it slipped out of gear, and we had to put the brake on. And before we could start it up again, the truck started rolling backwards. And we were very fearful that we might have mowed somebody down who was standing behind the truck, but somehow they got out of the way in time. And we remembered as that happened that we had been reading in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how the Jagannath car sometimes goes backwards. It just happens, and we thought, oh, this is Lord Chaitanya. He's here and he's making our car go backwards. So we thought it was a transcendental experience. So then it just kind of went on and on to the beach, and at the beach there was a big feast, and dozens of people came, hundreds actually, for the feast. And Prabhupada wasn't there because he had been ill. It was a time when he had been ill in New York. He had this stroke and came back to recuperate. So he stayed in Stinson Beach. Stinson Beach is about an hour and a half drive from San Francisco. You have to go across the Golden Gate Bridge into Marin County, and then up this big hill with hairpin curves, and then down the other side of the hill, hairpins. Really like hairpins. I don't know if any of you have ever been to Tirupati. Anyone here been to Tirupati Temple? Yeah, well, it's like that. And just zigzags, literally like this. This is the way you go up and down that hill. So after something happened to me. I got sick, or I had a headache or something. I didn't stay for all the festivities. And those were days when we would go without sleeping for 2 days running to put on a festival. So something like that happened. I sort of went back and lay down and went to sleep. But the devotees had to go out to show Prabhupada the cart, the chariot that he had designed, and tell about the festival. So the back of that flatbed filled up with about 50 devotees. I don't know how many went, but they went all the way to Stinson Beach, where Prabhupada was staying in his house on the beach. I've been out there a few times, and I've been on that road several times, and it's really treacherous. So somehow or other, they drove. And in June and July and August in San Francisco, because of this unusual topography, the weather turns cold and foggy, even though it's summertime. It's the only California, Southern California. Well, I guess it's not Southern California. But anyway, it's the only California city that's like that. It's very strange. And it starts getting warm again in September. But they drove through the fog and the dark, somehow clinging on to this flatbed truck, which doesn't have much to cling on to. I couldn't understand how it happened, but they got to Prabhupada through all the hairpin curves, an hour and a half of driving in the cold and the fog, just to tell them about the festival. And Prabhupada was very, very happy, very pleased to hear about all the events that took place, about how the chanting went on, and the feast was superb, and how many people chanted with the devotees, and how they went all the way to the beach, just a kind of replica of the festival in Jagannath Puri. And Prabhupada was very happy. That was the very first Rath Yatra, and it had been enacted, even though Prabhupada wasn't personally there. And he, at that time, or shortly thereafter, designated that as the yearly event which should take place not only in San Francisco, but also in other cities all over the world. And that came to pass, of course. The second year of the San Francisco Rath Yatra, a special cart was built to carry the deities, and Shyamasundara built that cart. But it wasn't a cart in the traditional sense of a Jagannath chariot. It's, I don't know if you've seen pictures of it, or maybe there were pictures in the Prabhupada Lilamrita. But it was built in a very unusual fashion. There were about 15 or 20 little golden canopies that were like different levels. They look kind of like a Gujarati temple, with different pieces of stone stick out. And so it was very beautiful, but very unique, unusual. And that I was in Los Angeles at that time, and I wanted Aniruddha, who was at the temple, to go up to San Francisco for the festival. So I stayed in Los Angeles, and with one other devotee, we just drove down to Venice Beach. We just had one Jagannath deities, and we just carried him around on the beach. It was really heavy. So we just kind of walked up and down the beach, kind of symbolic of, you know, having a festival down there. It actually was the place where Ratha-yatra took place later. And they had a big festival in San Francisco. The one thing that didn't quite work out exactly the way it was planned, because it wasn't planned in every detail, was that when they went through Golden Gate Park this time, it wasn't down Irving Street, they got to a tunnel, and it so happened that the top of the chariot was too big to go through the tunnel, too high, by about 5 inches. So they all stopped and had this roaring kirtan in the tunnel. I mean, I heard tapes of it, but didn't see it. Everyone stopped, and you know how tunnels echo, and it's nice when you get under a canopy and you have a kirtan. So everyone just really tripped out on a 25-minute kirtan in the tunnel until Shamsundar could get a saw to cut off the top of the chariot. So he had to go all the way back to his house in Ashbury Street, Haight Street, and get a saw to saw it off. And then everyone, when he was up there, was cheering and cheering. He sawed it off. So that was the second Ratha-yatra. So then Ratha-yatra began to take place all over, in Philadelphia and Chicago, and there was one in London. The one in London, I was here for the first one in London, was a very would have been a very grandiose event, because you hear it took place in 1969 when the Hare Krishna mantra record was on the top of the charts, and we've been on top of the pops 4 times, and people were chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. We were here in car radios and supermarkets, and it was number 12 or something like that. So Shamsundar built this beautiful chariot, kind of a very tall chariot, with traditional Ratha-yatra colors. And we were very low on budget in those days. So we got some wagon wheels, the old wagon wheels, kind of the spokes, and somehow managed to pull it all the way from Balham over the bridge, one of the bridges over the Thames. Then we took it to its starting point at Hyde Park Speaker's Corner. Not Hyde Park Corner, but Hyde Park Speaker's Corner. And we'd advertised it. We'd been on the radio. We had lots of posters. And we were sort of popular at that time. Just generally, you know, the Hare Krishnas were known for chanting. And I think George Harrison said something on one of the radio shows. So a lot of people came to Hyde Park Speaker's Corner at noon. But the idea was it would push off and go down Park Lane, make a left turn at Hyde Park Corner, go down Piccadilly, and then go around Piccadilly Circus, and then end up in Trafalgar Square. That was the route. And then we had passed out lots and lots of leaflets. So it was very beautiful, and there was a lot of pageantry, lots of garlands, lots of devotees and their finery, all decked out with flowers and garlands. And the Jagannath deities were there in beautiful thrones. And the devotees just sort of piled on this bus, because we didn't have any idea about weight limits or anything like that. We just piled on. So there were a lot of police there. There were busloads of them, because this was a big event. We wanted to be sure there were no untoward mishaps. So anyway, it finally pushed off about a half hour late, and the big ropes, everyone was pulling. So the chariot moved about maybe 20 yards, and then the wheels started to crack, or they started to buckle, and the spokes just started to fly out of the hubs. And the car just kind of started to sink. It started to collapse, actually. And, you know, spokes were flying out. There's the two front wheels. And so the police got sort of slightly hysterical. They didn't really know what to do. They could see that it wasn't going to go. And we were even more perturbed, because that was Jagannath's car, and it was starting to collapse. So we had to make a decision, and they were saying, well, you know, I'm sorry, but it's not going to go. And we realized that it wasn't going to go. There was no way we could get new wheels on, no way we could repair it. So the decision was made to leave the cart there and just carry the deities. And that's what actually happened in the first Rathiyatra. The deities and their thrones, and as much as of the flowers as we could take, were carried the whole route from Hyde Park Speaker's Corner to Hyde Park Corner, down Piccadilly, down Park Lane, down Piccadilly, and into Trafalgar Square. And that chariot was just left with a few people to guard it over on the side, and we had to dismantle it right in the spot. So talk about chaos. You know, the unpredictable things happening. That was extremely unpredictable. And Trafalgar Square was just filled with people, just completely jammed with people who had heard the record, they heard about publicity. We advertised it on John Peel's program. It was a very popular radio program at the time on BBC. So it was just swarming with people. That's where we met Dhananjaya. That was his first contact with the devotees. So we had the deities up on the plinth of Horatio Nelson there, right at the base of the column. And that's where all the festivities took place. It became like a stage where we had dancing, we had fantastic kirtans, and the people loved it, and we had a great feast. So that went on all night. It was a very hot afternoon, I remember, and lots of chanting and dancing, and that whole very gray Trafalgar Square turned into a very festive event. We even had the mantra over there. There's a breeze there. I don't know. Maybe it was the Battle of Trafalgar or something, right? At the base of the columns. That was all covered with a big Hare Krishna poster. It just transformed the whole of Trafalgar Square into a festive stage, a very special, colorful event. So that was the first one in London. Prabhupada wasn't extremely pleased about the fact that the wheel collapsed. He thought that our engineering needed something to be desired. And we promised him that the next time we'd make sure that the wheels wouldn't collapse, we'd figure out what the weight limit could be. But all in all, it came off pretty. I mean, except for that, and not too many people were there. It was quite a good Rathiyatra. Certainly very popular for people. So now we move on to back to the States. So this, starting in 1969, well, actually, 1967 was the first one. 68 was the second one. And then, starting in 1969, the chariots were three, and they were very big and very beautiful. And there's some pictures of Prabhupada presiding, dancing on the Rathiyatra carts in San Francisco. Just every year it's happened ever since then. It's gone through the park. That's been a very wonderful event. There'll be another one this year. I don't know what the date is. But it's become kind of a standard thing to have three chariots there. And it goes through the park and down the beach. And the people of San Francisco, generally, they liked the devotees very much, because this first one in 1967 was occurring in the Haight-Ashbury. Haight-Ashbury was a mecca for hippies to come from all over America, all over the world. And after about a year and a half, it became a drug-infested scene. So the city councilors and the police were all very concerned, very worried, and they saw that the Hare Krishna temple was actually transforming, as Prabhupada said, hippies into happies. And it was a very positive force, a group that taught people not to use drugs, that they could be happy. And so a very nice relationship began to develop between the police, the city council, and the devotees from 1967. Until this day, there's still a very strong relationship. We're seen as a very positive force in the city. So Jayananda came to Los Angeles, I think what year that was, 1981 or 82. I don't remember the exact year. Might have been 82 or 83. And I think 83. And one of his missions was to have a Rathiyatra in Los Angeles. He had terminal leukemia, terminal cancer, and he had a hospital bed in one of the apartments in the Los Angeles Temple Complex. And he said, you guys should really have a Rathiyatra in Los Angeles. Really should. You have it in all these places like New York. He built the Rathiyatra in New York City, and Prabhupada was so pleased. He said, Rathiyatra, he said, Jayananda should get a certificate, an award certificate for his wonderful service. And he actually steered that chariot down Fifth Avenue while he was stricken with this disease. Anyway, then he went to Mexico to try to get some cure in a few other places, and then he came to Los Angeles, and his singular mission was, we've got to have a Rafi Actor in Los Angeles. That's all he could talk about, all he could think about. And he was sicker and sicker, he could barely move around. Anyway, it's a long story, so I'll try to just hit the highlights. One day, and he was in a wheelchair, he couldn't walk around. He said, let's at least look around, because we said, Los Angeles, you know, there's no place where people are. It's all spread out. There's no central area. And it's like that. It's just, you know, very sprawling Los Angeles, like the opposite of New York. There's no one place where a lot of people congregate. So no one's interested in having Rafi Actor there. So he drove, and we drove, and he was sitting in the back. And then he said, let's go to the beach. Let's just check it out. So we drove to Venice Beach. Down Venice, it's about 5 miles from the temple. And this was probably about January, February, and it was just swarming with people. Just, you wouldn't believe how many people were on the beach, because it's always nice, the summer is always, it's always like summer. And there were people from all over America, all over the world, and just filling up the boardwalk. And this was the place we thought, well, this is the beach, this is where Rafi Actor should be. And so we were thinking of all the places we've been, this is the place, this is the best place to have Rafi Actor. And as if to confirm it, we were wheeling him down the beach, this policeman came in full uniform, walking the opposite way, and he walked right up to Jayananda, and then he stopped and went like this, as if, you know, hey, you got to stop now. And we thought, uh-oh, we're not supposed to have a wheelchair on the boardwalk. We didn't know what it was all about. And he said, I want to shake your hand, and he held out his hand to Jayananda. He said, thanks a lot. And he said, you're welcome. I don't know if all of you guys heard about this, but he said, last night there was a scuffle between some of our officers and some murderers, and one of your men saved the life of one of our officers. I don't know if it was him, but I just want to thank you, because it was a very dangerous operation. So we didn't know what he was talking about. Said, I think maybe we heard about that. So anyway, that was the kind of thing that we thought, all right, this is it, we have to have Rafi Actor down here. Somehow or other, that was it. He introduced himself. I'm Sergeant White with the LA Police Department, blah, blah, blah. So then we went to Rameshwar. He was the GVC there. He asked him, can we have Rafi Actor here? Do you want to have it? He was down at the beach with us. It was Karandar. And he said, well, yeah, I said, I think it's a good idea, but I have to think about it. Big decision, it's going to cost a lot of money, and we only have a few months to get everything ready, so you got to think about it. So he was thinking and thinking, and while he was thinking, Jayananda was very impatient, and he, from his hospital bed, he ordered 2 tons of wood, which magically appeared in the parking lot of the temple one day. So then when we told him that Jayananda couldn't wait any longer, he just melted, and he said, okay, we just have to have some vegetables. We can't resist the request of a dying man. So then he got the best builder in the community, a guy named Lalitanath. And Jayananda was an engineer, a construction engineer by trade. So they figured out how to make three carts. And these carts surpassed all the other chariots. The wheels were welded. They were hand-done from scratch with spokes with big bands of metal and big hubs. He welded these things together. There were 12 of them. And the rubber, which went around the outside, is about this thick, was taken along with the bands are about that thick, and everything was welded. Were taken to the state of Arizona, which is quite a ways away, on a truck, and they were vulcanized onto the steel bands. This had never been done before. These carts have been running since 82, up till this day. They've never had any kind of an accident. Nothing's ever broken. The wheels are so strong, and even the wood has had very little reinforcement. They've gone all the way down to the beach. They've been towed. That's a 5-mile trip up and back, plus the route along the beach. Very, very strong. So when this festival took place, there was a huge crowd. There were elephants between each chariot, all decked out. There were riders playing trumpets and decked out, and there was a one was a clown, one was a lady in a sari, one was a child. They were playing musical instruments. And it was a pageant like never before. I mean, it was a real spectacular Rocky Yatra. There were elephant rides, and 4 acres of exhibits were on this grassy area on the beach. The tents arrived about 2 days before the Rocky Yatra. The whole thing was kind of a miracle. I remember I was up for about 2 days because most of the organization fell upon me and one other devotee to do. And Jayananda passed away during this whole thing from leukemia. So he told us that, you know, this is it, you know, you've got to do it. Those are his last words. So we felt that this was it, you know, sort of do or die. We had to fulfill his request. So when Prabhupada saw, he wasn't there, he was in London, I think, at the time. Anyway, some devotees sent some pictures over to him of the chariot and the festival. So he was in this room, and he saw the pictures, and he said, "We've never seen carts like this before. We've never seen such carts." Just by seeing these little black and white photographs, he knew that these were the most spectacular Rocky Yatra carts ever. And he sent a letter to the devotees in L.A. He said, "My dear boys and girls, you've done a wonderful service for Lord Jagannath, wonderful service for Los Angeles." And it was just such a letter that it was read out to all the devotees in L.A. They just, you know, people were sobbing in ecstasy. They just couldn't believe that Prabhupada wrote such a letter, that he had such appreciation of something so far away that he hadn't any idea of except a few pictures and what a few devotees told him about. It was such a nice letter. So the night after the festival, we all went into Ramachandra's room, and we knew that it was going to be televised nationally because this national television crew went down. It's very unusual that they televise a soft so-called event. Usually it's all about war and blood and guts and corruption and killing and violence and drugs. So this news broadcast came on at about 11:30 at night, and a remember his name was Ed Bradley, was sitting at his desk, and behind him, the whole background was a Jagannath Puri temple. I guess they got it from our news release or something. And the lady who was interviewing all the devotees, her name was Karen Lovejoy. She was eating samosas the whole time. And she was saying things to me that, like, this was the greatest thing she'd ever been to. And they were there for hours and hours, just taking interviews and filming people. So she was interviewing, she interviewed me, she interviewed someone else. She was eating samosas. She was interviewing people, asking why they were there, because there was thousands of people, thousands. Then all of a sudden, she was interviewing Jayananda's parents. They were there. They came out to the festival. All of a sudden, we'd been up all night, and we could barely keep our eyes open, even to watch this national television show, which about 20 million people saw. And then she was saying, "What's your name?" "Mr., I'm Jane Corn. This is my husband, Jim Corn. Where are you from?" And, you know, she did dozens of interviews. This was one of the three that was selected out of the editing. "Oh, we're from Grand Junction, Colorado." "Grand Junction, Colorado? It's a long ways. What brings you out here?" "Did you just happen to come to Venice Beach?" And said, "No, our son actually built these carts. And he died of leukemia about 2 months ago." And I was like, I couldn't believe it. I mean, out of the thousands and thousands of people that she could have picked to interview, she interviewed them. And they were there, right there on TV. And it was such a moving thing, such a unique thing that their son built the cart and he died in the process, but they just had to show it. It was part of the program. The whole thing, maybe it was 5 or 6 minutes, it wasn't very long, but that was like, after all that we had, you know, all the struggle to put on this festival in his honor, to see him glorified on TV like that was just like the crowning glory. It made everything, of course it was all worth it anyway, but it just made it like kind of the icing on the cake, you know, made it 100 times more worth it than it was worth it to see his parents glorifying him and also being glorified like that. Prabhupada said that we should hang his picture in the Rathi Yatra card, and because we didn't do it that year. But anyway, in successive years we put his big picture like this, and we made a big sunburst for it, and it hung in Lord Jagannath's car in the future. So that was the most spectacular Rocky Yatra of all. And I think to this day, in the Western Hemisphere, it still is the most spectacular one. I think maybe the one in Calcutta is, you know, maybe it's most spectacular. I don't know. I haven't seen it, but I've seen pictures of it. So this was Prabhupada's mercy, that he brought devotees like Jayananda, he brought Lord Jagannath, he installed him in the temples, and as he had this great attachment to Lord Jagannath from early childhood, and having a Rathyatra festival, he implemented these festivals that now take place in France and Italy and India and South America and Australia and New Zealand, and I think they had one in Hong Kong, Philippines, everywhere, Rathyatra, dozens and dozens, Israel, dozens of cities all over the world. So Prabhupada brought Jagannath and brought this festival. Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai! Hari Bol. So I don't know when it was decided, but at a certain point we realized that having the Rathyatra festival in Trafalgar Square just wasn't on. You know, it wasn't big enough. There weren't any trees there. It was just a cement jungle. So now there's a very wonderful Rathyatra in Battersea Park. Big event, and we're very fortunate to be able to take part in it. These festivals also are very healthy for ISKCON. Prabhupada always stressed that it's important to have festivals like this in all the big cities because they influence huge numbers of people. They create a very festive atmosphere. Nowadays it's kind of hard for people really to find something they can take their children to because there's so much pornography and violence everywhere. But this is a nice, safe, wonderful event that everyone can appreciate. So I have to go back to Washington tomorrow because there's Rathyatra on the 4th of July, which is Friday. The 4th of July was the day that the Americans got their independence from the British. There's a big parade in Washington, D.C. It's specially called the Independence Day Parade there because that's the capital. And the Rathyatra chariot is in that parade, the Independence Day parade. It's not its own parade. We've had our own Rathyatras there, but we have it there because somehow this float, this Jagannath Rath, always wins a prize. It's one every year it wins a big prize, and we get a big plaque, and televised all over the country, so I have to go back to that. Well, the last year I was here for Battersea Park, and it was a wonderful event. And the LA one, it will be the 3rd of August. I'll be there for that. That's going to be... that event has transformed the area so much that I remember one time we asked all the devotees to go to Venice to collect money for the festival just to get in the spirit of it. Not, you know, a lot. It cost us about $80,000 to put on the first one, and now it makes a profit because we sell so many things from the gift shop. But we went to every house we fanned out on a Saturday and just asked everyone who came to the door if they could chip in a little something for this Rathyatra festival that we're going to have. Every single person who came to the door gave money. Every single person. It's like a little city of great appreciation, Venice, California, of Krishna consciousness. So, thank you very much for inviting me in. Have a wonderful Rathyatra, and I wish I could be a yogi and bifurcate myself and be there. But I'll be thinking about it.
Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
Jagannath Rathyatra ki jai.
shebe he dashina baba para opina. Opina. Amara upaya nai, tumi kripa kori, amare laele, wa samsare udara pai, opina. Hare chima era pere, damna sara chuta.